This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. In ancient times, China's links with Central Asia and Europe moved along a series of trade routes known collectively as the Silk Road. Silk was one of China's main exports. The old route west began at the fringes of the Gobi Desert. On the fifth leg of his 3,000-mile road trip across China, NPR's Rob Gifford finds that trade continues along the historic route. It is no longer silks, porcelain, and spices that are traded.
Well, we're heading now across the first part of the massive Gobi Desert. This is where things get not only a lot hotter, but also a lot bumpier. The road is not nearly as good now. Air on the bus is thick with cigarette smoke. The child in the seat in front of me has just thrown up at my feet, and the guy in the seat next to me is busy pulling the hairs on my arm. Chinese people don't have hairy arms or legs, and they're fascinated by us hairy Westerners. So all in all, just another normal day on the road heading west on Route 312.
If the music of the old Silk Road was the sound of camel caravans, the theme tune of the new Silk Road is the Kung Fu movie on the long-distance bus. The people traveling the road and their cargo have changed too.
So
34-year-old Zhang Guoqing is a cell phone salesman, and he's traveling across the desert with a bag stuffed full of mobile phones. He stops at each oasis town, does deals with the department stores, then moves on to the next one. Zhang's been traveling up and down Route 312 for 7 years now. He says even though the road's a little bumpy, journeys that used to take days now only take hours. Everyone wants to own a cell phone, he says. It's a status symbol, so business has been good. Zhang has sparkly eyes and a quick smile and can talk about any subject under the sun. But his smile fades when the subject turns to the United States. Can't go on a journey anywhere in China these days without people bringing up the subject. Zhang is a member of one of China's Muslim minorities, the Hui people. He speaks Arabic and proudly says his Islamic name is Muhammad Ismail. The American government is very bad, he says. Why is it occupying Iraq? He also attacks U.S. policy towards Israel and the Palestinians. The non-Muslim Chinese on the bus are also critical of U.S. foreign policy, though not in an overly hostile tone. They see it in terms of geopolitics, not religion. The bus seems to be almost half full of construction workers heading west to work, benefiting from the central government's recent campaign to develop the western regions. Yang Jia Rong is a 30-year-old manager of a construction company. He earns nearly $400 a month, a very tidy wage in this poor part of China. This was unheard of just 5 years ago, he says. There was nothing going on out here. Now the West is booming, he says. For 2 decades now, the cities of the East, Beijing, Shanghai, Guangzhou and others, have been developing rapidly. A new middle class has emerged that has given the impression to the outside world of massive progress in China. But the countryside and the cities of the West have lagged far behind. Yang's traveling companion, Wei Daiying, is older, born in 1949, the year Chairman Mao proclaimed the founding of Communist China. Wei still wears a Mao cap and a Mao jacket, and looks a little out of place among the younger passengers. Life is so much better now. There are so many more opportunities, he says. It's easy to lose sight of how much the big picture has changed in urban China when you travel the length of Route 312 and spend so long in poor rural areas. For people like Wei Daiying, who experienced the famines of the late 50s and the chaos of the Cultural Revolution in the 60s, modern China, for all its many problems, is much, much better. Soon, it's lunchtime, and the bus pulls over to a small row of restaurants in a tiny oasis town. Well, one of the great things about traveling in China is the food. I think more than just about any country in the world, you can be in the middle of nowhere, like we are now, pull off the road at some tiny little shack like this one, and be served up an amazing stir-fried meal. We've got spicy chicken here, we've got some sliced green peppers and pork, a few things I've no idea what they are, and some steaming spicy noodles. Now that is what I call a traveler's lunch. Back on the bus, the kung fu movies grind endlessly on. The bus struggles on too, a lonely speck inching across a sea of sand. The Mongolians to the north of here have a saying about the Gobi Desert. They say sometimes you must go down to the Gobi to stretch your soul. As you travel across it for hours and hours upon end, you start to understand what those Mongolians mean. After the teeming towns and villages and the hills and valleys of eastern China, the land and the sky here open up and embrace each other and make you want to stop and embrace them too. But be careful what you wish for. Oh, well, this is not looking good. We're in the middle of nowhere and the bus has just come to a complete halt. The woman at the front has pulled up the sort of gearbox with a hood inside, and I think we've broken down in the middle of the Gobi Desert.
车坏了吗?
After 20 minutes or so, it's clear this bus is going nowhere, so it's time to get out and hitch. Eventually, another bus comes along.
Oh, this one's a bit more comfy. We got air conditioning. We got a Nicolas Cage movie. Okay. Well, why weren't we on this one in the first place? That's what I want to know.
Finally, in air-conditioned comfort, we reach our destination, and the bus disgorges its passengers. There are many places along the old Silk Road where there are caves or archaeological sites, and tourists, both foreign and Chinese, are now arriving in larger numbers. They don't come by bus across the Gobi generally, they fly in by plane. But when they get there, there's one thing that everyone wants to do. Well, I couldn't resist. This is the Silk Road after all, so I just felt I had to ride a camel. Not far off Route 312 is the ancient oasis town of Dunhuang, home of the amazing Morgao Buddhist cave paintings. Our friend here long since ceded the role of ship of the desert to the long-distance buses on Route 312, but there are still plenty of tourists like me who want to ride out into the sand dunes and get a feel for how it used to be done. Rob Gifford, NPR News, riding off into the sunset on a camel just off Route 312 in northwest China.
Photos of the desert journey, including that camel ride, are at npr.org. On Monday, On the Road in China continues with Rob hitching a ride with a truck driver for a 12-hour drive across the Gobi Desert.